Foden Beat Show, a weekly podcast about the 2024 Star Wars Armada Vassal World Cup. Thanks for joining us.
Hello and welcome to the final episode of Season 2 of the Foden Beat Show. I'm Rayleigh42, and with me here tonight is my co-host, Armchair Jedi.
Hello there.
We spoil it already, but our guest for tonight is Arc Welder, the champion of the event.
Woohoo!
Hey, thanks for having me.
Hype horn over his thanks.
Right?
Rude.
I blame Kaloran.
No, you can't do that. Kaloran did nothing wrong.
He put the button there. I can't just not. It's right there.
Don't we all just blame Kaloran? Isn't that the thing?
I think so.
I feel like that's a thing. So tonight we are going to have another slightly odd kind of format. We're going to do our regular interview with Arc Welder because we haven't had him on the show before, which is fantastic. So we're going to get to learn a little bit more about him and where he came from. And then we're going to talk about the last game of the event. And then we're going to shoot the shit for a little bit and talk with Arc Welder about how he got to victory, because that's super cool. Let's do it. With that, let's start with this. Arc Welder, how long have you played Armada?
So I have played Armada seriously, like on a regular basis, since about 2017. I found the game with a buddy of mine in college, like right when it came out, and he got the starter box. And we played one, I think it might have been a little bit after that, actually, because we played a game with like the MC-80 versus the ISD and then the starter box. So I guess it would have been Wave 2. But we put it down for like a year and a half after that. And then I finally got a bunch of my own stuff and went out to a game shop and played my first real game, I want to say January of 2017.
Hear that? Armchair, we could be world champion, Vassal World Cup champions too.
We could be heroes.
Just think of all those like professional sports players who are younger than us, right?
Yeah. Arc Welder, how did you find the game? How did you guys, you said you got together with a buddy?
Yeah, I honestly don't remember who it was who found the game first. I want to say it was him who said, hey, there's this new game coming out, we should try it. But I honestly do not remember.
Nice. Were you into minis games or board games before that?
I was into, as a kid, I was into HeroScape, if you remember that game. It was maybe 2004 through 7, I want to say. And it's sort of like a Warhammer light game. And I had played that a bunch and I really enjoyed playing it with my like high school friends. But I'd never really done any of the like go out to a shop and play a game or build your own minis or any of that stuff. It all came pre-painted and pre-assembled and the scenarios were all there for you. So this was my first like true miniatures game that I played.
What drew you to a miniatures game if you had no experience with it before?
Honestly, I mean, I did have the experience of having the models on the table and just how cool that looked and just having the display of it there. And then just combining that with the Star Wars aesthetic was just so intriguing to me. The other thing is that, to my understanding, Armada is somewhat based, or at least some of the fleet mechanics are based on Empire at War, that Star Wars video game. I think it's technically based on the old Rebellion game, but it was from a similar era as HeroScape. And I played a ton of that in high school. So just the idea of, oh, it's Empire at War, but on the table was what really intrigued me.
Ah, okay. Was Rebellion, was that a video game?
Yeah, yeah, it was like, well, so there's the board game now, but there was an old DOS game, I want to say in like the late 90s. I never played it, but...
Yeah.
I had it, and man, I was so excited. And you fire it up and you load up your fleet and you go have a fight and like the X-Wings and the TIE Fighters come flying at them. But instead of like actual X-Wings and TIE Fighters flying through space and like dogfighting and stuff, it was like this gif of like three X-Wings and this gif of like three TIE Fighters. And they'd kind of move towards each other and then like do this kind of like whirlpool kind of swirl around each other, and every once in a while lasers would come like shooting out of this little swirl in random directions, and then one of them would poof. It was so disappointing.
I'm looking at screenshots now and I remember that my dad played the shit out of this.
Thanks.
My dad is a legit nerd.
He still
plays Starcraft 2 cool. like daily.
I mean, there's that compliment, and then there's also the wow, you play the same game my dad played, and now I'm like
No, it's cool.
Saving Private Ryan, Jeff.
Okay, so you were clearly a Star Wars fan before that. What was your what's your Star Wars jam? What's your favorite Star Wars content?
I mean, it would be Empire at War if I had to pick that, and like Battlefront 2 when I was a kid. Those were the two games that I played the crap out of. But I think when I originally got into Star Wars was when my dad would have showed it to me when I was like 7 or 8. We watched the first movie and watched all of them together. I'm an old timer, what you want to say, but long time Star Wars fan.
Did you play in previous Vassal World Cup events?
No, this one's actually my first. I didn't really play online too much before. I actually got into playing online after the COVID lockdowns had ended. So I mostly started playing online in prep for last year's Worlds. I haven't had a chance to get into any of them. I played the Vassal World Cup second chance last year. That was the first like online tournament I played in.
It's really interesting. Most people that came in here say they started their online career during the pandemic because they were wanting to play the game but couldn't go anywhere. It's super interesting to hear that you got into it after the pandemic.
I spent the pandemic for the most part doing a lot of, I got into Warhammer, and so I was just painting the whole time, so I never really like felt the urge to go and play Armada online as much as I was just like, all right, I got to paint my guard, I got to paint my Sisters of Battle, I got to paint my Tyranids.
Yeah, I bet you pandemic was great for people just cleaning out their closet of shame.
Cleaning it out, refilling it, refilling it.
Well, it's like mail order is still a thing. Those are the two armories that I've still got, my guard and my sisters.
It's a blast to play on the table. I like the sisters a lot in 10th edition. But this is about Armada, not so much 40K.
Yeah, I haven't touched them since like 8th edition, so.
Sure.
But maybe one
day. Right. I think I'm going to skip over how you built your fleet question, because I think we're gonna focus in on that during the shoot the shit section. Same as the pods. All right, let's just skip over the rest. That's it. We're done. Moving on.
Fastest Armchair. In the West.
All right, yeah, guys, that's it for the Foden Beach Show season 2. Yeah, thanks everybody for listening. Bye-bye.
It's not here for a long time. It's here for a good time.
Well done. Yeah, so there was one game that we didn't cover last week. The only game that was left was Garrett versus Truthiness. And Garrett was definitely sort of on the outside looking in at Maki and Arkwelder. But on a 10-1, with the good MOV, there was a chance for him to leapfrog right up into first place. So this game versus Truthy had a lot riding on it. Did you watch Arkwelder?
That was at about 5 a.m. my time. So I set an alarm. I opened up the BIG stream and promptly fell asleep with my phone on my face. So this I kind of watched it.
Yes. Yeah. I didn't get a chance to watch it either, but close game. It went 385 to 220 for Garrett, which is a win. But not enough for him to catch up to Arkwelder. Truthy's hard sell escaped on one hull, which saved the table and denied Garrett the championship and sealed the deal for the 2024 Vassal World Cup champion, Arkwelder.
Thanks, Truthy.
This is perhaps a silly question, but if that one hull ship hadn't have gotten away, did Garrett have the 10? Because I know you can sometimes have tablings that are not 10s.
He did, yeah.
It was,
I think the MOV would have been something like 305 if the hard sell had gone down.
Wow.
So it would have been just the barest possible 10.
Before this game, when people were talking about, well, if Garrett gets a 10, you know, in the back of my mind, I'm like, these are two of like the best players in the world. There's no way one of them gets a 10 against the other. And here it is, one whole point away from one that. Whole point. That's amazing.
I think the fleet matchup it's not as unlikely as you think, just because Truthy doesn't have a ton of hull on the table. I was not assuming anything when I saw that matchup still had to be played out.
Yeah, and going into that, I think Garrett only had like 17 MOV from his win over Maki. So he would have needed like 240 or so plus... plus the full 10 points of TP. So any 10-1 would have done it, but But yeah, I just needed to smack that last hard sell. So yeah, so I guess you woke up with a phone imprint on your face, wondering what was going on, and then is that when you realized that you had won?
So I woke up with the phone imprint on my face and about 15 DMs from people saying, "Congrats, man!"
Amazing.
So yeah, I slept just long enough for it to be fully decided, and then I got all these messages coming in.
Cool. Well, I mean, tell us about your fleet then. What's your fleet? What did you fly? How did you build it? Why did you build it? Where did you build it? Who did you build it? Why is Gamora?
Whomstidiv did you build it?
Ooh. Walk us through.
Yeah, so the basic archetype is the IQG, the ISD, Quasar, and Gazanti with Sloan. And this is an archetype that I have been playing for a long time. So when I first got into the game, the first night I ever went out, I was playing some Rebel something or other. I didn't know how the rules worked. And for those of you who know him, Ian Cross was there. He's a former Worlds judge, Minneapolis guy. And he kind of walked me through how to play the game. And over the course of me learning the game, I eventually switched to playing. It was after I watched Rogue One. I was like, man, I want my fleet to be those two ISDs and a ton of TIE fighters. Just that all the TIE fighters coming out of the shield gate on that one scene. It's like, that's what I want in Armada. And so that pushed me towards how can I make heavy TIEs work? And Sloan had just come out around then. So I wanted to try some sort of double ISD with Sloan or something like that. And Ian eventually kind of talked me into the IQG is the better archetype, I think. So I started playing that, I want to say 2018. And I have played some variant of it competitively ever since. Not exclusively, but I have played it in every competitive season, basically. The purpose of the archetype is to kind of leverage Sloan's ability to win the fighter game aggressively, and then the ISD's capacity just takes something out. So back in the day, that would have been, the ISD would have had boarding troopers Avenger on it or something to just shut off defense tokens and knock it out, but we realized that was unhealthy for the game, so we pulled it back a little bit. But the general idea for my fleet is that the ISD can kind of be a brawler, and it can be it can push forward and sort of shield the Quasar. And one of the key things I did in my list to enable that is the Pursuant title. So I get a lot of questions on Pursuant, why in that list? And the main reason I find is that there's always a panic round on like 3 or 4 or something where their brawler ship is coming towards you and they're gonna try and take out your Quasar. And I find that just that extra tick of maneuver, or one more speed allows the Quasar to just be really durable. Even though you lose some of the offensive power, the ISD can kind of provide that with being forward with the gunnery teams and then projecting force out that way. So trying to think what else I need to talk about here.
Yeah, Pursuant is not unique, but you don't see it very often, right? Everybody sees Quasar, you see Squall, and off to the races, but yeah.
Yeah, and I kind of considered that because it does lose the mirror a little bit to Squall, but I found that the skew into other matchups was worth it because stuff like, I don't think I've played it against a COG type fleet, but any sort of like heavy ship fleet, I need the survivability for the Quasar to get one more round out of the squads or something to do the damage I need to sort of mitigate the extra ship advantage that they have.
And your ISD is pretty slim too, isn't it? Just 4 upgrades, need a gunnery team, ECM, and LTT.
Yep, yeah, it's super stripped down. The thought there is that if you kill just the ISD, you're going to get an 8 on me because it's 143, I want to say maybe 142. But the ISD is usually going to be able to trade for something small. And if you're focusing that hard on the ISD, the Quasar is going to be able to get some sort of something back, be it your squad ball, taking out a small ship, something like that.
And speaking of the squad ball, a little bit different than we usually see. You've got obviously the best friends, Jenden and Merrick, Vader Defender, which is pretty much everywhere these days. And then Mauler is your fourth ace. Saber, Black, and then 2 Defenders.
Yeah, so honestly, I just ripped that whole sale for Worlds last year from Relent's list in the last Vassal World Cup. I saw how it played against, it was his game against Mako that I watched. And I just really liked how the squad ball played. It seemed really effective into all targets. It was good into Pedix, which was a lot more, a point defense ion cannons, which was a lot more common than, I think it's still common now, but you know, people were talking about the Martuk, Recusant, Muni fleets. And those were just Pedix everywhere. So I wanted to have something that was durable into Pedix. And I've kind of just stuck with that archetype ever since. I find that it does enough in the squad game where if I get the Alpha Strike off, I'm going to be able to push damage through with the squads afterward.
Nice. And for your objectives, did you have the standard squadron Holy Trinity?
No, actually, I find Precision Strike really flippable, so I don't usually take it myself. But what I had was Most Wanted, Asteroid Tactics, and Superior Positions. So Superior Positions is mostly for the deployment advantage. I don't really care so much about the farming. It can be flipped on me if someone wins the squad game. It's really more about keeping the Quasar safe. And then Asteroid Tactics was just the best defensive yellow I could have. It could potentially get me another Brace or another Evade with Nita on the ISD. I expected to play that if people pick second. It's the right choice against me, but it can at least hopefully give me a little bit of defensive option and give them a little bit of a headache in the squad game. And then Most Wanted is just Most Wanted, right?
Yeah, hard to go wrong with Most Wanted if you got a flotilla to throw around and bait people out with.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah. Well, cool. So tell us about your pods. What pod were you in?
I was in pod Nemoidian. Actually, I've never heard that pronounced. Is it Nemoidian? Nemoidian?
Go with Nemoidian.
Nemoidian? Nemoidian? Yeah. You ever watch Ted Lasso? It's like if you say a word enough, it becomes a sound.
Except Nemoidian. It's already a sound.
Nemoidian.
I have not watched Ted Lasso, but my dad will, every time I see him, he will recommend that I watch Ted Lasso. So I think I'm going to have to now.
Well, you should watch Ted Lasso. Yeah, it's good. And then when you get to the scene where they talk about this, you'll get a chuckle because we did this.
Haha, callback. Look at that.
Right, yeah. yeah, Nemoidian. Okay, so who's in your pod?
Yeah, so my pod was, it was Angry Ewok and Xantos and MCHD, who went by Larry, I believe. I think he's in the Longshanks as Larry.
Right. And that was Xantos too, right?
Yeah, yep. So I think he got a little unfortunate in the pod pick because he has that Dooku list with the... I don't remember if he has slicers or not, but he at least has Dooku, and I have that Pursuant skilled First Officer.
Yeah, he does have the slicers on his hard sell.
Oh, I completely forgot to mention this during the fleet building. That's the key to the list, actually, is skilled First Officer and Pursuant.
Yeah, actually, no. I meant to mention that when I noticed that, yeah.
Yeah, that's what really enables the panic, right? It's not just, I'm preparing for you to be on top of me in two turns. If you go somewhere I don't expect, now I've got the capacity to leave.
Yeah.
So anyways, as far as Xantos is concerned, I'm pretty sure he does have slicers in that list. So I've got Token Tech and I've got Pursuant and I've got Skilled First Officer. So I'm going to get around Dooku pretty well.
Yeah. So you came out top in your pod. Any games or matches stand out?
That Xantos game was really good. I got to say it was one where I believe he had me out deployed and he kind of positioned his Muni and Recusant in the way that they were going to be able to come down on my ISD and the Quasar at the same time. So this was streamed. I don't remember which of Mercier's channels it's on. I think it's Mercury Fleet Command.
I think they're all Mercury Fleet, yeah.
Yeah, okay, that must be what it was. And so you can watch this if you want. But what essentially happened is I knew because of the Dooku effect and all of the guns you could bring to bear on my ISD, that I couldn't actually fight him straight up. So my decision on basically the end of turn one was I have to just try and go pick off his two hard cells and then just run. And you'll notice, I mean, I guess spoilers for the course of the game, but the Patriot Fist does end up like just barely clipping my Quasar and just takes it out in one shot, full to zero. I was expecting to maybe get one squad activation out of it, but he one better than Raid is destroying the carrier.
Yeah, that'll do it. Yeah.
And so basically the way the game plays out is I win the squad game on one turn. He pops the Quasar immediately afterward. And then the ISD destroys the two hard cells and then sort of runs away, just barely snaking and using ECM to survive the Patriot fist shots. That was, we talked about it afterward. That game easily could have been a 6-2 Xantos. On the last thing that happened in the game was the two, what are they called? Exegorths going off on my Merrick. And he had 3 health left and he rolled. No, I think he had 2 health left, actually, and he rolled like 1 damage and then a bunch of blanks. And I ended up winning that game by 1 MOV.
Oh, jeez.
So, or sorry, 2 MOV, rather. But there is a world where Xantos makes out a pot, and all it requires is a blue dice getting a hit. It was really close.
Yeah, and so common, too, in this World Cup. The quality of people at all levels and all pods was just incredible, and there were so many situations like that where it's like, oh, you know, if you'd gotten this roll to go better or that roll or, you know, one mistake or what have you, and it could have upended the whole pod.
Yeah, absolutely. There were a ton of those. And that happened in my game with Ewok too, actually. I was going after his assault frigate on the last shot with Vader, or the last 2 shots or something, and I'd Sloan stripped most of the tokens that were relevant, and he had 3 hull left, and Vader went 1 and then double blank on a Vader plus Jenden shot.
Oh, jeez.
So it's, yeah, exactly. It could have been way different pod.
Right. Well, you made it out. You made it out tops in your pod too, along with Angry Ewok. And then you head into the Swiss. Who was your first matchup?
My first match in the Swiss was against Honey Badger, TX Honey Badger.
Yeah.
And that was his, I believe he was flying a Starhawk. I can't remember. It was Agate Starhawk. No, was it Agate? Was it Agate Starhawk?
It was an Agate Starhawk 2 Unity with Ahsoka, Expert Shield Tech, Flight Controllers, Hangar Bay, PDIC, and Link Turbolaser Towers, GR with Torin and BCC, a GR with ComsNet, and then he had a squad ball of, he had a Hexwing Biggs ball. So he had Hexwing, Biggs, Wedge, Jan, and 4 X-Wings.
Yeah, okay, I'm remembering that now. That was also a really good game. That was one where I don't remember what the specific objective we played was, but it had the dust fields. And so I was able to kind of jump the ISD up and just barely obstruct a shot from the Starhawk to kind of jump across. And then my squads followed my ISD, jumped on top of his Biggs ball. And then we just sort of squadron scrummed it out. And I was able to get the gunnery team shot off to take out essentially both of the flotillas in one activation. I think one flotilla did live, but it just rammed me and died immediately afterward. And so it was one of those ones where it's that list is really powerful if the Starhawk gets to be brought to bear. But if I can just pick off all the side stuff, then it turns into the 7 that it was for me.
Yeah, but still pretty close game, like 300 to 228.
Yeah, and I really enjoyed playing Honey Badger. He was a great dude. It was a fun game.
Cool. We don't have to go through all the Swiss games. Were there any other games in the Swiss specifically that kind of stood out?
That game with Stewbucket, when we had both gotten to, I forget the exact tournament points, but we were at a point where whoever won was definitely in the top 4, and whoever lost had a chance if it was a 5. I think as it turned out, they wouldn't have made it in. They would have been just behind either Garrett or Outbound Flight. But that is one of my favorite games of Armada that I have ever played. Just the intense back and forth of like squadrons jockeying for position and where we think the ships are going to go and trying to fight to get a 6 to get in. Spoiler, at the end, mm-hmm. I did eventually manage to get in by taking out the MC 75, but just all of the intricate little positioning things where he and I were kind of, you get that like chess battle where you're not actually saying anything. You're having a fun casual conversation while you're doing it, but there's this like back and forth of like, and if he does this, I'll do this. And then I could do this and he could maybe do that. I don't know. Going on over the course of the whole game was just a blast.
And he was playing Raddus too. So that's, I mean, that lets him get a good jump on that Quasar if it's in the wrong spot. Do you know if that one was streamed? I should go find that one.
Yes. I think Alan did that one as well. Mercia did that as well.
Cool.
I think too, it's super interesting that Stewbucket was like a ringer. He joined my pod because somebody dropped. Yeah. And I was rooting at that point for him to go all the way to first because it just would have been really funny.
Yeah, just for the tournament.
Wasn't even planning on playing. Yeah.
Yeah, the guy that showed up at the last minute, the tournament organizer guy, is like, oh, well, I guess I'll play. And he's like, I guess I'll win.
I wonder, that happens sometimes at the store tournaments where like the TO shows up and they play just because, okay, we got an odd number, or I'm spending my whole weekend to organize this. I want to play some games of Armada or something, and then they win, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, I remember this reminded me of like when I was your age. No, like 20 years ago, I was playing at like a national Warhammer tournament, Warhammer Fantasy. And yeah, they had an odd number. So they got one of the store like cat clerks for employees to play. He ended up winning the whole tournament against like, I think it was like a field of 80 people. And he was a damn good player. Yeah. Super interesting. He got a lot of shit for that, but he was also like, yo dudes, I won the tournament.
Yeah. Well, go ahead.
They are the people who are the most invested, right? If they're working at the game shop, they're probably into the game, or at least
some. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, similar to really cheering for Stewbucket there, I was really cheering for Maki just because he had beat me out of our pod. And so I figured if I was going to go down, at least I'd have the solace of saying I lost to, and I still get to say I lost to the guy who came in third place. So, you know, it's not so bad.
Yeah. I was rooting for Jackson too. He and I have been practice partners for basically since Golden State games. So I was hoping he'd make it the whole way.
Oh, wow. Well, in the final, was it the first round you played him?
I did play him in the first round. Yeah, that was, it was like right after we made the top cut. It was like the next day we played our game.
Yeah. And how tight was that game?
That was another super intense, like dice could have made it go big one way or the other kind of game. So I don't remember. I don't think that one was streamed, but he had the bid on me. I think his bid's like 10 or 11 or 12 or something. He very much wants to control the pace of the game with that kind of bid on a bail list. And he chose first against me basically to have the fighter alpha potential. And what ended up happening is I kind of spread my fighters out in like a picket formation. I had some rocks I could put my TIE defenders on. And I guess I'm giving a little bit of the strategy away here. I feel like I might have to talk like this is a hockey interview, you know? Oh, you know, you just trust the process. That's a good fleet over there. You know, get squads deep.
Yep, yep. Get them deep and work hard and have a couple bounces go your way.
Back to fundamentals. You know,
you betcha.
You guys.
But I was able to sort of leave that TIE defender out there as bait. And I think he thought he was going to be able to get the Venator up to cover everybody. And so he sent Anakin and Ahsoka and Axe to go kill that. With all of my squadrons unactivated, I still had the Quasar sitting in reserve. And he did manage to kill it. I mean, you know, Anakin, Ahsoka, and Axe will do that to something.
Murdered, yeah.
But I was able to jump. It was two TIE defenders, Merrick, Vader, Mauler, and someone else on top of them, and it just took them all out. And he doesn't have a lot of ability to force the squad game from there because the rest of his squad ball is all those TIE bombers. Or it's not TIE bombers, sorry. The
BDLs, yeah. Y-wings.
Yeah, the Y-wings. So I essentially won the squad game there. And then I tried to commit to farming off of the Y-wings and got Merrick and I want to say Mauler also caught in the flak arc just enough to kill them. The other thing that's been going on that was going on the other side of the board during this is that the ISD was swinging super wide and going at speed 3 to try and fork his mercy mission and I think it's Bomber Command Center is the other one. I can't remember how he has the consulars configured, but I was basically getting in blue range of both consulars at the same time to say, which one are you going to activate first? I'm going to get one of them. And he ended up managing to dodge just barely out of blue range with one of them. I hit him with red and crippled Bomber Command Center and then kept that fork going for like three turns, essentially. I would follow them and keep them in arc. He would just dodge out to red over and over again. And on turn, I think it was five, he managed to split them enough where Bomber Command Center was up all the way in the corner by his board and Mercy Mission was heading for my deployment zone. And I had to sort of pick which one I was going to go for. And my big mistake was that I made the ISD go down for Mercy Mission and sent the Quasar up after the other one, the Bomber Command Center. And as the dice rolled out, he chose to activate Mercy Mission first to get it out and keep it alive, because that's worth, you know, that's a 100-point swing for him if he keeps it alive. That was somewhat expected. But I ended up sending Vader and a TIE Defender and Jenden, and I think I got a TIE Fighter in there. Or not a TIE Fighter, sorry, a like Saber or something with a blue die non-bomber. And just completely whiffed the bombing attack. I did have some damage go through, but I needed Vader to do like two damage on both shots. And I think he did two damage total. He might have done three. And so I ended up not killing that and not killing Mercy Mission. So Jackson beat me by, I think the MOV was 17, 18, somewhere in there. But that was another great game. It was tactical back and forth, a lot of stuff going on.
Well, yeah, it was 98 to 84.
Yeah,
14 points.
14, yeah.
Oof.
But that was a full squads game. And I mentioned this in the thread on the Discord. We played a full 134 versus 134 on the dot. And it took us an hour and like 25 minutes.
Yeah. Well, okay. But you like really good players like actually know what you're doing. So that doesn't really count.
And we're going to gloat about it. No, I'm kidding.
Like us scrubs. Like we need like an extra hour or two.
Yeah, well, he and I both just play super fast. That's actually what it is. We finished our game at Golden State Games. We played in the top eight. And I think that was another one where I had the Peltas and he had his Sloniger. And that took us an hour and a half as well. We just both are very fast players, I guess.
Yeah, and I guess there's that familiarity. You said he was like your practice buddy too, right? So there's having that familiarity, I'm sure, really helps.
Right, exactly. A lot of stuff can just get auto-completed, right? Like, oh, I know you were going to bail there. It's fine.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so game one, you know, not too bad. You didn't get the win, but you got some points out of it. Maki didn't get the win either, or a big win anyway. So, you know, it's still a lot to play for. Round two, what was that?
Round two, in the order I played, was Garrett, I believe, yeah. So Garrett was flying that, I guess maybe I can let you do this, but Garrett was flying the ISD Quasar as well. So it was kind of a mirror, kind of not.
Right.
Do you have the full fleet up in front of you? I don't actually have it with me.
Oh, yeah. So Garrett was flying a Jerry. He had a Kuat with Admiral Montferrat, Ordnance Experts, Reserve Hangers, ECM, Ord Pods, and PDIC. Quasar 1 with Squall, Skilled First, Flight Controllers, Boosted Comms, and Expanded Hangers. He had a Gazanti with Reserve Hanger Deck and Comms Net. And the Squad Ball was the Best Friends plus Vader, Hondo instead of your Mauler, Saber Gamma instead of your Black, and then two Interceptors instead of your Defenders.
Yeah, so that Squad Ball really took me by surprise. I knew this was going to be a squad-heavy game, but and it was going to be sort of the who can hold their squads back long enough to get the sort of first, and it's not really first strike, you know, I might catch something and then respond to it, but it was going to be very much who is going to win the squad game, and then maybe you can convert something else off of that, or off of creating a fork in the squad game where it's like, okay, my squads are on top of you and my ISD is threatening you. Which one do you want to address? But he really took me by surprise with the capacity for Jerry to get Reserve Hangar Decks in range of my squad ball. So he would like, he like sent his interceptor in and he could then like use Jerjerad to turn his ships in to get the Reserve Hangar Deck closer. And I did not see that coming at all. And then the other one that took me by surprise was the Hondo Saber Genden combo, where essentially he sent that interceptor in to create the swarm effect. Then he jumped Saber in and sniped something, and I don't think it killed it. So he has Genden go up and shoot again. And then whatever it was died. I think it was a defender. And then Hondo comes in and just pulls Saber back into the flak bubble. And now I can't go get it. I mean, I could, but I would lose stuff in the process.
Okay. So as like as a defensive, like I've seen some people use Hondo and Mauler together to kind of like pull him out so he can hop back in again. But this is more of a, I'm going to kind of throw an alpha out then Slave One and Hondo are going to come in and kind of help me reset that to be able to go do it again.
Yep, exactly.
I guess similar to Mauler, but a different kind of...
Yeah, it's a little more reliable in its ability to go off because, you know, the Mauler double splash requires your opponent to be clumped up and near whatever your commanding ship is. You're the ship with the fighter coordination teams. And so people just play a wide berth around it, and it gives you a different effect than this. So like the Hondo one, people will just spread their squads out or pull their squads back or something, and you get utility out of that. But this, you get to just sort of farm points off of them. You can say, oh, you left your squad. I think the one that he killed was like in my ISD side arc, and he managed to pull Saber out of flak range.
Interesting. Man, that must have been an interesting game because, like you said, it's on paper, it's a mirror match, right? You got 134 points of squads, you got an ISD, you got a Quasar. But in the detail, they're really different fleets.
Yeah, absolutely. They played completely differently. The other thing that happened over the course of that game was he was able to use Jerjerod to essentially from deployment. I knew that he was going to get on my Quasar and I could not stop him. Even with all my pursuant tricks, Jerjerod is sort of the bane of that, right? He can just, okay, sure. You navved one extra tick. I navved two extra ticks. See ya. And so we, over the course of the game, essentially jockeyed to try and get both of our ISDs on each other's Quasars. So his ISD over the course of this jumps down onto my Quasar with Jerjerod and gets the double arc after sort of dodging out of my ISD front. And then my ISD jumps behind his. So we're doing this like intricate dance to try and catch his Quasar. And I miss long, or I miss medium, sorry. So oh, there's no way I can kill it.
Oh, yikes.
What ends up happening is Garrett rolls his side arc, and it's the Kuat side arc, so it's black, black, blue, red, and he rolls 4 damage, no accuracy. So I brace redirect because the Quasar will die if I try and save tokens or whatever. And then he rolls his front arc, 8 damage, no accuracy. Oh. And so he barely even broke my shields. When he writes on, he should have killed me. He should have taken a 7 off that game by killing my Quasar.
Wow.
But, he managed to, or I guess I managed to get lucky, I should say.
And I mean, the I guess we didn't mention the Quasar is your flagship too. So that's a big piece to lose.
Yep. Yeah. It's 104 points, something like that. Maybe 97. It's somewhere in the 100 point range. And so if I lose that, I can take his whole squad ball out and return, and it's still barely a win.
So you did get the win there though. 174 to 103 is still a tight match, 7 this time, but barely.
Yeah, and it was essentially just off on the last turn I farmed, Superior Positions points. I just got a couple of shots on his Quasar rear as he was leaving and managed to get points off of it. Otherwise, it was a tight 6.
Wow. And then your last game against Truthy, who got in with a CIS squad, a fleet.
Yeah, the Truthy game, you know, all these are going to be these big squadron balls. The game against Truthy, the matchup for CIS squads is pretty hard against Imperial squads because we have a little bit, you know, more range, a little bit more durability. Like CIS squads is a hard archetype to play. I love the aesthetic of it. I like seeing it on the table. It suffers a little bit into other heavy squads lists specifically. And so because Truthy leaned hard into those hyenas, he kind of just had to all in and hope he rolled well and killed Merrick and Vader on his Alpha Strike or something like that. Kill something important on the Alpha Strike. As it went down, he rolled pretty well on the vultures and the hyenas, surprisingly. But the Watt and DIS both missed really heavy against my Saber, and I think it was Merrick they shot at. And so I was able to essentially just full Counter-Strike him and win the squad game that way.
Oof.
Yeah, it's I was rooting for the CIS list, but it three Imperial and Republic 134s is not a fun experience for that. And I know Truthy's a little bit, he's ready to move on from that list.
Yeah, I mean, I can imagine. I mean, and yes, like you mentioned, the top four is a pair of 134s, Truthy's 133, and Maki was the lowest squad total at 130. So huge squad totals for all these games. And Truthy had, so he had a Dooku fleet with a Recusant support destroyer, Patriot Fist, kitted out like a carrier. He had a hard sell with Foreman's Later and Bomber Command Center. He had two Naked Gazantes, and then Wat Tambor squad, DBS, DIS, the Bactoid prototypes. One, two, three, four Vultures, three Hyenas. That's a lot of squads.
Yeah, He swears by those Hyena Aces, rather. I think I agree with him that even if you don't use their abilities, just the durability of the squad is so worth it.
Yeah. Yeah. And especially, you can use them as swarm nodes, as screen nodes for Watt. So,
yeah. And they being able to drop, is it five total Hyenas or four?
He's got three generics. He's got the Bactoid and DBS. So five total.
Yeah, so being able to drop all five of them on something, mm-hmm. if my ISD hadn't been able to survive, Alpha Strike and take down the hard cell, I would have been in trouble because he got a lot of damage into my front arc. I think on the Alpha Strike, between the Hyenas and between the Hyenas and Patriot Fist, I think shield stripped my entire ISD front arc, side arc, and then I think one of them was down to like one shield or something. It's a lot of anti-ship damage. It just needs to be backed up with. The problem is it doesn't get backed up with surviving for one more turn to deal it again.
Right, yeah, and he doesn't have any reserve hangers on there, so he can't bring any of those vultures back. Wow. But man, yeah, five Hyenas with the Bomber Command Center, that could have done a lot of damage.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you get then whichever one it is, I think it's DBS that has the add an extra die, right? You could theoretically be doing, I don't know, 15 damage or something if they all roll really well.
yeah, crazy. So that one went your way.
That did indeed, yeah. So like I said, I was able to pop the basically all of the support ships and the squad ball over the course of that initial engagement. And this is actually, I talked earlier about Asteroid Tactics and how I expected to play it if I went second. I think this was the only game of Asteroid Tactics I actually played, even though I was, expecting it from the start. But after that initial Hyena Alpha, I was sitting on a asteroid, so I was able to say, okay, I'll brace this and maybe I'll even burn the brace or the evade. I forget which one I burned, but I burned one of the defense tokens knowing I was getting it back immediately. So it does add that additional durability for that forward brawler ship. I thought it followed cool. my planning really well. Sorry.
Yeah, no, that's cool. And then that was it. Then you were done. And then it became the waiting game.
And then we come full circle back to the start of the podcast here where I woke up at 5 a.m. and dropped my phone on my face.
I think but when you had played Truthy, Maki hadn't played Garrett yet. And so that was still a chance for him to get past you.
Yes.
I think
yes,
he needed like a six or a seven. I think it was a seven would have gotten past you. And then it would have been, that would have been that. You would have had to wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning.
I think it was an eight, if I recall. But yeah, he needed a reasonable win and he ended up with a six, I think. Was it a seven?
It was a five. He ended up losing against Garrett 249 to 232.
Yes, I remember now.
Yeah, and then that 5 a.m. Mountain Time game, Central Time.
Central Time, yeah.
And then, Garrett gets the win, but not quite enough damage into that hard cell. And has your crown arrived in the mail yet, or is that still coming?
I think it got caught up in customs. I don't know. It's coming from up in the Great White North, right?
I don't think it's all run out of the States, isn't it? We're just innocent bystanders here.
Oh yeah, that's right. I forget. Yeah, it's because they're all they're Virginia and Texas and all that.
Yeah.
Well, I expect a crown from you two, frankly.
Oh, fair enough.
Oh, sweet.
I'll give it to you when I'm at Worlds.
We're allowed to give out crowns. So, Ark, are you going to play a different fleet for a bit?
Yes. So I will. This is one where I won't give too much detail, but I am playing a different fleet for Worlds. I don't believe in myself taking Sloane to the top of Worlds. I have a different archetype I'm going for. But certainly I'm going to be exploring it post-Worlds, a lot of different stuff. I had been talking about trying to make CIS, like TF-1726 work, but that's very early stages. I've got some vague ideas.
Hey, because you said you've been playing this archetype for quite a while now. I feel like in the past year or so, I've kind of found an archetype, a fleet composition that kind of speaks to me. That's kind of like the thing I go to. And I've played, I went from Empire, I went to Rebels, now I'm doing CIS. I've never really stayed with anything too long, but do you find that was just your first and only love and it's carried you so far? Or do you feel a little bit of burnout especially after this? I mean, people don't really, I don't know. Maybe I'm speaking for people and I shouldn't be, but like the VWC is a long, hard tournament. It starts January 1st and we're talking about it now, March 12th, and it's over. So it's a lot of time, a lot of games to play with the same fleet. Do you feel a little bit of a burnout now, or is it just kind of like, it was just time to move on? You already had some ideas for different stuff.
I don't think I'm burned out on the fleet per se. I do feel a little bit like the villain for winning with Sloane, and I know Sloane, people have feelings on Sloane. But I don't think I'm burned out on it per se. My archetype that I've always loved is 134. I just find the intricacies of the squad game, and you heard me earlier talking about it, just the interplay and the back and forth and the option space that heavy squads creates makes the game infinitely more interesting for me personally. So I generally have some sort of 134 style thing I'm playing, but no, I don't think that any, the only fleet I've ever gotten sick of was the Quad Pelta, because that's just a lot of work to play.
All right. Well, VWC 2024 champion, Ark Welder, any last words on your tournament experience and this VWC?
Yeah, I just want to thank everybody for playing in the tournament. It was a super fun tournament to play in. I really enjoyed getting all these games in. I want to thank GP and Stewbucket and Mercier for organizing the whole thing and keeping everybody in line and being lenient when Elred and I forgot that it was the round was ending on Saturday and not on Sunday and letting us extend for a day. So thanks, everybody.
Well, awesome. And huge congratulations. This is like I said, it's been a long road. It was a tough road against, I'm looking at my spreadsheet and all these people in this tournament were top notch. So a big congratulations for you for coming out on top. Thanks for joining us on the Food and Bead Show. Hopefully talk to you again next year, VWC, you think?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm in.
Yeah. So interestingly, we noticed this year, the prior year champion has never made it out of the pods in the following year.
Yeah,
there's like a hangover, like a Stanley Cup hangover kind of thing.
It's the curse.
Exactly.
Yeah, I forgot that unskilled first officer went out in pods.
Yeah. So do you think you'll be the one to bump the curse?
Well, never underestimate my ability to fail,
Don't pressure them. That's a year away.
It's a year away, but it starts happening. The planning starts now, right? Like there's this little Worlds thing that's happening that nobody really cares about, but like the important stuff, the planning for next year's VWC, it starts right now.
Speaking of Worlds, by the way, if anyone wants to come say hey or something at Worlds, I'm planning on repping Minnesota. I've got the new state flag. I've got it as a sweater that I'll be wearing at least on day one. I don't know. Maybe I'll get too sweaty. I'll have to take it off for day two, but it's like the blue on blue background with the star on it. Just come say hey.
Sweet.
Cool. I'll send my people to come say hi.
I got a couple of thank yous.
Yeah, yeah.
I want to thank Kalorn for letting us use his Zencaster. I think it's Kalorn's. Maybe it's Fox. I'll thank both of you, but I think mostly Kalorn. This software has changed my life as far as podcasting. I was last year, we were doing like an hour of podcasting, and then for every hour, every hour we talked, I spent 2 hours editing. And now I just kind of walk away and Kalorn does some magic in the background. So thank you. Huge thanks, Kalorn. Yes. And maybe Fox, I don't know. And then I thanked him last week, but we're going to do it again. Huge thanks to Armchair Jedi for putting a shit ton of work into both podcasts. But this one primarily because he loves me the best.
It's true.
And getting those topics out and kind of pushing me at times to make things happen. So thank you to you both, or you three. Hard to tell.
No, thank you. Yeah, no, big thanks to Kalorn and I guess we'll throw him in there, but the Armada podcast crew for letting us piggyback on their software, to Kalorn for doing the post production on this show and getting it posted out there for you fine people to enjoy. Huge thanks to, as you said, GP Stu Bucket and Mercier for TOing this year and making the People's World Cup happen once again. And also big thanks to Biggs for starting the whole thing. You know, I feel like we kind of, I know I feel like I stand on the shoulder of giants, and I think this tournament stands on the shoulders of Biggs. So thank you, Biggs, for this. Big, big thanks to Green Knight for the Armada Vassal module for maintaining it. And so we have something to play with. And big thanks as well to Vladian for, you know, the scrubs who want to play on TTS. I guess they count too. So
careful, but
Vladian, thank you for the care that you put into not only the TTS module, but also to T4.
Those TTS people, they've got fangs. They will come for you.
I know, but they're all going to be at Worlds in a week or so. So I'm fine.
You just don't want to stir that up though, you know?
Don't I?
Yeah.
Hey, maybe.
No, you're
can't
like,
handle the truth. You no, can't how? Handle the
oh,
truth. Geez.
Uh-oh, I hit the
you
button.
You can't handle the truth.
There it is. There's Jesus. There's like a little infinity button on these buttons that if you're not careful, you just...
I thought you were just really trying to add emphasis.
Well, that too.
You know what? It's true. I cannot handle the truth.
Nobody can handle the truth. I want to thank my pod's people, Taserface, Maki, and In Rob We Trust, for three great games in my pod, in my Vassal World Cup 2024. It was great. And also, you know, a big thank you to the people out there in the community. You know, I reached out a few times trying to kind of figure out what I was doing with this fleet that I decided to bring. And people were super helpful in, you know, just kind of giving me pointers and tips. And I think that just goes up and down the board. You know, by and large, this community is wonderful. And, you know, we're by and large, we're all out here to support, help each other and support each other and have fun playing this game. And so I'd like to thank you, the listener and participant, for being you and helping make this community, this tournament, and this whole thing as great as it is. I don't think I'd work this hard if it wasn't for that. So thank you for that.
That's classy as fuck.
Stay classy, San Diego.
Yeah. Anything else?
Gosh.
Yeah. I want to echo that, though, that I will say repeatedly to anyone who asks me about it, that the Armada community is the greatest community in board games. I love being a part of this community.
I guess last thing I have to say is thank you, Rayleigh, for coming out of retirement and agreeing to do the Foden Beat Show one more time. It was a lot of fun. We got to do the gig again. I'm glad people enjoyed it enough that they were actually excited that we came back. So that was cool. Yeah. But yeah, thanks for doing this with me.
No problem. I enjoy hearing people that enjoy it too.
None of us are going to be at Worlds, but to all you who are going to Worlds, good luck. Kick butt, go Seppies.
All right. Anything else from you two? Have we said it all?
Just want to say again, thanks for having me on.
You bet.
You're welcome. Thanks for winning and being an awesome guest. I love when people talk too much.
Yeah,
I mean the right amount. We're like 3 minutes from the threshold I gave you. Dude, great.
So I find three more minutes of people to thank.
No, stop. Okay. We're done. Okay. Cut.
Roll the credits. Roll the credits.
Roll the credits. Play the Oscars music. All right, y'all. I'm going to call it. Good night. It's been lovely. And may the force be with you.
Always.
Thanks for listening to the Food and Beat Show. If you have any feedback, feel free to reach out by email or Discord. Listen again next week for more Vassal World Cup commentary.